Hello, podcasters. Lots on today.
Hello.
Yes.
What was that? Was
that
a dog?
How I started the show this morning. Some sort of weird Cockney gear. That
no,
just...
it's like Scooby-Doo went to London.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello, Peggy. Let's go see. No, I'm going to stop.
No,
you should keep pushing
weird.
That up the hill. That is amazing.
No,
that's what I love about you. You will beat it and beat it. You will say it again. You will keep going.
Keep going, man. We are talking about my stories here.
Yeah, of course we are. Keith Urban, one-on-one with him. That was good fun. Ryan,
you know
from...
what was amazing, though, before we get to Ryan? Your guy's chat with the lady with Tourette's.
Oh,
I found
you.
That. Fascinating.
That girl, she is 21 years old. You'll hear it in this.
The smiling.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful,
so
beautiful person. And yeah, you just want the best for her.
But
gorgeous
you know what
person.
I found amazing is that when she has an outburst, she has a couple little twitches and outbursts, but she's aware of it. Mm. She apologizes straight away. And it would be like watching yourself from the outside of your body when it happens.
Yeah,
and
her
disposition was incredible.
Mm. It was a really, really sweet chat.
Yeah.
Keith Urban was also...
He was great.
Amazing.
And in love with you and in love with your giant penis.
Well, why wouldn't you be? I mean, what a segue, Grant Daniel. Speaking of giant penises.
Hey, Ryan from Married at First Sight.
Yes.
Yeah, more ways than one. He came up because he's now a stand-up comedian and he's at Manning Bar. I don't know if it's sold out, but manningbar.com today if it's not. And if you're in Sydney. And yeah, he did one of his jokes and a live jury... Well, the response was lady said it's factually correct. The other one said, yes, that
marry
was...
Marry me, you're hot.
Yeah, and then the third one said, can I come to the show? Are you single?
Yeah. And one of them admitted she wouldn't care if he didn't say a word.
Oh, that's
stage.
True as well.
Watching two professional comedians of high esteem welcoming another, you know, to the industry and the fray was loving.
I'm still not even welcomed. Tom bloody Gleason called me a live performer. I'm still not in the fray 15 years later. Mm. He can get in line.
Yeah, the world of comedy is rough and tumble.
I think you're prepping him well.
Yeah, we were a pack of assholes and we don't care.
Yeah,
the laughs are on stage, guys.
Whatever, guys.
So much fun. And he loved it. He appreciated it.
Hey, to our Adelaide listeners, there's only a few tickets left to my one-off extravaganza, Difficult Woman at the Adelaide Cabaret Festival with John Farnham's band and music director Chong Lim. Mm. Just Google Adelaide Cabaret Festival, you'll be able to find it. But only a few left if you want to get in.
Get
it's
involved.
Happening June 10. Thanks, bye.
Thanks. I would argue that a high-pressure situation, a high stress, may be the invites to your wedding.
Good. Excellent. Yes. And we found out over the last few weeks, obviously, the royal wedding is upon us. Mm. And, oh, God, mentioning the royal wedding. Wear your wedding dress. That's right. Next week, we are having our royal wedding dress party at Luna Park.
Oh, yeah.
And what a place to be, Luna Park. Isn't
beautiful.
It stunning?
The rides are going to be on.
I know. And so we're doing this in honour of everyone getting out their outfits that they got to wear the first time and just taking for another spin because you spend so much money on it. Mm. And then all the stories are coming out and we found out over the last few weeks with the wedding guest list that Harry has invited three of his exes along.
It's a lot.
Well, it goes to say that Megan's very... tolerant.
Doesn't have a choice.
My eyes said that, thank you. And Harry is able to maintain relationships with his exes, healthy friendships.
Don't get it. Don't understand it. Sounds dangerous. Because if you're inviting exes to your wedding, they're the ones that are going to be going, oh, bride doesn't look very good. The cake's not very nice, is
not
it?
Not always.
He could have done his hair a little bit better.
Maybe if it was me, but I hear some people are quite nice.
Yeah.
But this is what we want to talk about. On 131060, are you mates with your partner's ex? Like, did they come to your wedding? Is it all hunky-dory? Because Jada Pinkett Smith has done, and everyone who gets through gets to come to the wedding dress party, guys. Yep. Jada Pinkett Smith has done an emotional, bizarre interview with her husband, Will Smith's first wife.
I didn't even know he had a first wife.
Yeah, he had his first son with her. They share a child.
Oh,
yeah, Trey. And they sat down together in a Facebook video and... It seems they get along now, but that wasn't always the case. Here is, them discussing a phone call they once shared.
You picked up the phone, and I wasn't really respectful. Trey was at the house, so I'm calling to talk to Trey.
Right.
But I had to go through you to get to him.
Okay, got
it. You answered the phone.
Got it.
So you basically let me know, I don't really appreciate your tone. And I was like,
I don't care.
It don't matter. And you hung up on me.
Oh,
girl! This is a bit icy.
What's going on?
Oh, okay. It got better.
I call back and I happen to say, quote, bitch, you living in a house I picked out. You said, it's my house now.
Amazing. But then Jada went on to apologize for dating Will while he was still married to her.
The beginning between us was rough. And here's the one thing I will say in hindsight. Because I did not understand marriage.
Yeah.
I didn't understand divorce. Mm-hmm. I will say that I probably should have fell back.
You think? Yeah, thanks. So there we go. She's friends with her partner's ex. 13, 10, 60. Are you on good terms with your partner's ex? Did they come to your wedding? Were they a part of the big day? Mm. We've got Marta already. Hey, Marta. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Now, your ex was very much a part of your wedding.
Yeah, he was. He was the MC at our wedding.
Of course he was.
Now, Marta, whose choice was that?
Both my husband and I decided together that, yeah, he'd be a good choice. And, yeah.
He's holding the microphone. He could bring anything out of the back catalogue about you guys.
Yeah, he did. It made me feel as well, the fact that we were exes. And I was MC at his wedding.
I knew the MC at his wedding.
That is healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wasn't strange seeing the ex-love of your life commit to someone else? You were cool?
No. We were cool. We were, like I said, it made for good material. But I think some people thought it was weird, but we're really good friends. He'd be one of my bestest friends, actually.
God, you are a better person than I am.
Yeah, you are evolved, Marta. All right, there you go. That is the tone we're looking at here. Yeah. Thank you, Marta. 13, 10, 60, exes at the wedding, yes, no.
Are you friends with them? Was it all okay? Mm-hmm. Marta, you're coming along to the wedding dress party next Wednesday night too. Everyone who gets through gets to come along.
Bring your ex, Marta.
Yay!
As we step into our royal wedding dress party, Luna Park, let Luna Park Weddings create an unforgettable wedding day for you. Visit lunaparkweddings.com for more information. It's next Wednesday night. The Ferris wheel is going to be on. It's going to be us. Samantha Jade is going to be performing live. It's going to be fantastic. And we want all different wedding stories to be there in their wedding gear.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if anyone wanted to, or not, you had a great idea.
Recreating the wedding photo.
Yeah, that's fun.
But even if you wanted to take it a step further, you want to recreate the ceremony, I'm happy to provide my services as a page boy.
Perfect. I'll be the priest.
It's a great
idea. You'll probably burst into flames on the spot, but it doesn't matter. Sarah in Lane Cove, we're talking about being mates enough with your ex to invite them to a wedding,
yes,
as Harry is doing with three of his exes.
She's mad.
We just heard Jada Pinkett Smith become best friends with her husband's ex.
Oh, goodness.
Sarah, what happened with you?
Hi, guys, love your show.
Thanks.
Well, it's actually not my ex. It's my partner's ex will actually be, we're not getting married yet, but we actually spoke about this on the weekend, and she will definitely be invited to the wedding. And in fact, I've obviously met her through my partner, who I've been dating for about 6 years, and we've just relocated up to Sydney, but my partner was up here for a few months before I was, and I actually stayed with his ex for 3 months at her house.
Oh, you stayed with her?
Wow.
Yes, I stayed with her because we're such great friends. Like, we're good friends now, and we have to be amicable because of the kids and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I think
responsible.
That's good.
But you've taken it next level there. And do you ever, if you've got a complaint about your current partner, do you ever air it? Did he do this when you guys were together?
We definitely have some laughs about different things that...
He'd be wrapped.
He would be devastated, Sarah.
He would love it when you two double-teamed him. That would be amazing.
Well, that's modern.
Type of double-teaming.
That's a wonderful idea.
Okay, we're not what I
this
meant.
Relationship.
Stop speaking. Lena, hello.
Hello.
Now, your husband's ex was what?
She was in his bridal party, so she was a groom's lady.
That's next level,
that
Lena.
Evolved of you.
That is. And whose idea was that?
It was his. But she's one of his best friends. She's godparent to our daughter, so she's a big part of our family.
That's fair enough.
Was it ever rocky? Like, these are all sort of happy now. Were these relationships ever rocky, and you worked through it, or was it always just cool?
Well, we've been together for 10 years, and they grew up together. I suppose right at the beginning of our relationship, I was a bit nervous that there was something there. But I think because they'd already dated, it was sort of, they'd gone, yep, this isn't for us. It actually made me feel more comfortable about her because it's sort of, it was already done.
Yeah, wasn't still lingering, late night text message style. Lena, I respect that. Yeah. Thank you.
That's good. Thank you.
And Simone from Penrith, I believe, is about to win. Simone, was your ex part of your wedding?
Yeah, he was, very much so, yes.
What did you do?
He sang while we were signing our wedding certificate.
Did he have one single tear coming from his eye as he sang, "You are the wind beneath my wings"? What was the song?
Yeah, what was the song?
Oh, God, I don't know. Something churchy.
Was it something by the Angels? Am I ever going to see your face again?
Ugly kid Joe, I hate everything about you.
That is beautiful, Simone.
Get on. You're a good egg.
No, but yeah, no, he was a good sport. We kind of separated on good terms, so that was all good, and hubby knew all about it, so it was all good.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM.
It is time for the next in our Ask Me Anything series, where we speak to someone, Grant, who has a life that perhaps isn't as well understood as it could or should be, and by them graciously giving us their time and answering questions, then hopefully we all get a bit of a better understanding. Now, Em has had to dash off to see her husband, had a medical appointment, so she's not with us today, but you and I are here with Kayla. Now, Kayla Lynn is a 21-year-old indie singer-songwriter from Perth who has, among her many talents, she also suffers from Tourette's syndrome. Hello, Kayla.
Hello.
Hi. Kayla, great to have you with us.
Yeah. It's good to be in a studio.
Yes, well, I'm saying, as an indie singer-songwriter, are you thinking, oh, I could bring the band in here and have a bit of fun here?
Yeah, I think I could, yeah.
So, Kayla, you've got Tourette's syndrome, which I don't know a great deal about. Well, I think I know a little bit, a tiny little bit, which is probably worse than knowing a lot. Exactly. When did it start for you exactly?
Let me think. It really started when I was about 15, and then around 17, I actually knew somewhat of what it was or what we thought it was, because I got like diagnosed with epilepsy first off, mm-hmm. because they still had no clue what was going on. And at about 17, they officially said, hey, like, there might be an actual answer to what's going on. We're still going to look into it. So then when I turned 19, they finally diagnosed me with Tourette's. So wow, that was a
4-year wait to try and work out. And as you say, when you say what was going on, what was happening with you to make you think something needs to be checked out here?
Well, I had a lot of twitches with the hands and the feet, mm-hmm. And I was throwing things and I was slurring my speech and stuff, which wasn't normal.
And what did that feel like for you when you started to see this sort of happening, you know, to your own body? What did that feel like for you?
It kind of felt normal.
Right.
'Cause I've been sick for probably about 6 or 7 years with different other things going on with me already.
Right.
So when that happened, it kind of was just like, oh, okay, it's same old.
All right, okay.
Yeah. And then Mum told me that it's probably something with something to do with everything else that's going on.
Yep.
So we kind of just didn't worry about it for a while, and then it got worse, and I was throwing stuff and slurring my speech, and everything that I had in my hand, I was just throwing everywhere.
Wow.
And she was like, maybe we should take you to the doctor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you had zero control, I would imagine, over that compulse.
That's right. That's fine.
Yeah, I didn't have any what was it that you just said? Sorry.
I said you had no control over that compulsion to throw. Like,
yeah,
was your mind saying anything at that time?
No, not really, because I only had like the flickering of the fingers and stuff, and the feet, and my toes and stuff. Because I didn't have any vocal back then.
Yep.
It all started with just like twitching and like throwing things and stuff. So I had no clue what was going on, and I just couldn't help doing it. And I tried as hard as I could to, like, hide it from, like, school and stuff because I would get bullied for it and whatnot.
You're 17. So. That must have been, like, terrifying to live with.
Yeah, it was really terrifying. Yeah. People wouldn't know what was going on because I would try and hide it with just, like, normal everyday movements because when I was 17, it came out more. There was more things that were going on.
Right.
At 15, I was just doing the twitching and stuff. So,
and is there in your own life, is it that emotional situations or different situations bring out more of your Tourette's?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. When I'm nervous, I twitch and stuff. I yell more. I most of the time in the afternoon, because like you've caught me in the morning, so I'm not really doing it as much. But in the afternoon, I'm screaming down the house. Like, you just hear me like, and Mum has to like close the windows and the doors and everything so that neighbours don't hear.
What is it about the afternoon then? What develops in the afternoon?
I get tired more in the afternoon. Okay. And I don't know why it comes out more in the afternoon, but it just does.
Yeah.
Around 4 to 5 is when everything just like kicks in and it's like yelling, swearing, everything.
But you're smiling as you say it. It seems as though you've like, I know you've been living with this for a while, but your attitude is wonderful. You know, you're sort of smiling as you're telling us that.
Well, I've always been a smiling person. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it make going outside like a challenge for you? Because obviously going anywhere would be quite confronting, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is. It is quite confronting to a lot of people. Like, if I'm going past in the shops or something, and I yell out "crack whore," I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on here.
Totally fine. Yeah,
that was one of my first tics and stuff. So, I was just walking around the shops with Mum, and I think it was like a late night. So there was a couple of people around, and when I said it, this lady looked at me like, "Oh, okay, I'm just going to keep walking because I don't know if that's directed at me or not." And I was pointing at her as well, so make it any more better.
Where does crack whore come from? As an impulse?
I don't know.
And so that's the other, one of the other big misconceptions, which I'm sure I've got with Tourette's syndrome, is that if you have the verbal part of it, which you do, that it's what you're thinking in your subconscious that gets yelled out. That's not true, is it?
Sometimes it can be.
Oh, really?
If I'm thinking something, I'll yell it and it's something.
Did you think that woman was a crack whore at the
No, definitely not. There's just like there's a lot of things that come out of my mouth anyway.
And are you surprised sometimes?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's some things that come out at the right moment, and it's like, that's good. like if my brother's tease me or something, I'll be like, shut up, and it will just come out of my mouth. And I'm like, I agree with that.
I agree with that. That's wonderful.
Considering that you're throwing out such a varied amount of things and sometimes insults and what could be conceived as hurtful things, what are the reactions you most commonly get?
I usually get a lot of the time I'm on like transport and stuff, so I'll be on the train and on the bus and stuff. There'll be a lot of old people that will look at me in like disgust, and I'm like, well, I can't really help it. I'm not a druggie.
Right, I'm not a druggie.
Because there's a lot of people on the trains that just, they go mental or something and they are on drugs and I act like them. And it's like, I'm not on any form.
No.
Any drugs.
Yeah, no.
So it's kind of like, sometimes I get quite shy about it, so I don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I flick people and like I punch them and slap them, all that kind of stuff. And I try and like keep it in as much as possible. And they look at me like, excuse me, don't touch me.
And do you ever say, do you ever say I've got Tourette's and that was a tic or?
A couple of times I've said it, but sometimes by the time I go and actually say it, they've walked off to the other side of the train.
It's a great way to get a seat.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm usually there on like the busy times anyway.
So. Oh no, you poor thing. Taylor, what reactions affect you the most?
When people give me dirty looks, that gives me a lot of like anxiety and I get depressed about it because like people looking at me in a different way. There's a lot of yesterday I was on transport coming home and I had high school kids laughing at me because I was making noises and they were pointing at me. So I was just like, don't say anything, Kayla. If you say something, something's bad's going to happen because I dread it when school kids come out. I absolutely dread it because they're just... They're just sitting there looking at me.
They're cruel to each other. Imagine, you know, we all know what it's like to have been in and around high school kids. They are not known for their compassion. You did?
Yeah, for other things though.
Right.
Yeah, for like last names and just the way I wore my hair, or like if I wore some long rainbow socks or something like that, I'll just get bullied for it.
And you I know.
Yeah, I was expressing myself.
What is it you'd like people to know and understand?
I'd like people to understand that it's not our fault if we swear at you.
Yeah.
And there's only that 10% that do swear, but even if we're just like in mid conversation and we say something that we don't mean, just ignore it because we feel better if you ignore it than point it out and go, oh, you just said like this, blah, 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 or why did you say that? And it makes us really uncomfortable, you know. And I really just, I want people to know that that we're all the same people. We just have Tourette's and we're just yelling and making different movements and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. Well, it is actually Tourette Syndrome Awareness Week this week, and this year it's the Eat, Sleep, Tick, Repeat campaigns, which is great, raising awareness and empathy for the condition. And people, if they want to see more of your story, you were part of the ABC program.
Yeah, Employable Me.
yeah, that was where we first became introduced to you, which was up on ABC iView, which is about, are you working at the moment? Are you looking for a job? Because I know you've got your music, which you're concentrating on.
Yeah, I love my music. Yeah. at the moment, I'm not really doing anything. I'm really looking for work and looking to actually have my own cafe, employing people with disabilities.
That's a great idea.
And, like, it's not really gone that far so far.
Okay.
Because I obviously don't have the money for it because it's going to be, like, heaps of money to even get a store.
Oh, yeah.
So I've put, like, a GoFundMe up and...
Well, we'll put a link to that page up on our website.
That would be lovely. yeah, so I've tried as much as possible to, like, get myself out there.
Great.
And even going for jobs, it's really uncomfortable because most of the time I don't say anything because... they just reject me.
Right.
If I say, oh, I've got this wrong with me, they'll reject me straight away. They won't call me back. They won't take me in for another, like, interview and, you know, that kind of thing.
So you just try and hide it as best you can and hope they don't notice?
Yeah, sometimes, but then sometimes they notice and I'm like, hey, I have Tourette's. It's not really going to get involved with my work. Like, it probably will, but I'll try my hardest not to, you know. And I'm a really hard worker. I love working. It makes me happy.
And if nerves set you off, there's no more nerve-wracking situation than a job interview for anyone, no matter how healthy you are.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Well, Kayla, thank you so much for telling us your story today. Kayla Lynn, a person who has Tourette syndrome. Now, make sure you let us know when you finish the album. We would love to hear more about that. We are a music station after all, so we'd love to hear more about that when you're finished. And we'll put a link up to your GoFundMe page to get your cafe going. But thanks so much for coming and speaking to us today.
Thank you for letting me talk to you guys and getting the awareness out there.
You're a legend, Kayla. Thank you so much.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. When tension builds, take a deep breath and reach for rescue remedy. Use only as directed.
At 11 past 8, it is time for Today FM's $10,000 Alpha Bucks and official game show host Grant Denyer. Who have you got for me this morning?
Debbie from Rooty Hill. Are you ready to play Today FM's Alpha Bucks?
Yes, I am.
What's the plan for all this cash you're about to win?
Well, we're hoping to go on a holiday at the end of the year, so we're a blended family with 5 kids between us, so it would really help out.
No, it'll cover those airfares. 5 kids is a lot.
Here we go.
All go towards that.
30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter M. M for May. For each question you get right, you'll score $100 with a chance to win up to 10 grand, hopefully.
Okay.
We must take the first answer. You can't use the same answer twice, and the adjudicator's word is final. Debbie, your letter is M. Here we go.
Yep.
Name a breakfast spread.
Marmalade.
A language.
Moroccan.
An insect.
Mosquito.
A Broadway musical.
Pass.
An NRL team.
Manly.
A style of dance.
Mamba.
A Taylor Swift song.
Pass.
A Sydney suburb.
Pass.
Type of cake.
Meringue.
A sport.
Ah!
It's a good
it's
crack.
So much easier when you're listening.
Hey, not bad though. $500.
Woohoo!
Hey.
Look at you, Debbie.
And Debbie, you strike me as someone with five kids. You may not get that much time for yourself, so I'm going to give you a Blow Bar Co. voucher, a blow dry for you and a friend for whenever you'd like to go along and get that as well,
so much.
Debbie.
Very that's awesome. Thanks, guys.
Good attitude, Debs.
Have a great day, Dom.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed at todayfm.com.au.
Yesterday, while you two were off living your lives, I interviewed Nicole Kidman's husband, all-round lovely guy, country music star Keith Urban.
Huge.
His new album, Graffiti U, is out. Also, Ed Sheeran wrote the lead single, Parallel Line. You can get it now. Yep. Huh. It sounds quite Ed Sheeran-y. The chat... Well, he said he'd never done one like it.
Well, expect nothing less when you're
good.
Involved. Now, I've got to say, I'm jealous because I love this man. I think he'd be one of the nicest people in the world to meet. And I play guitar, and this guy is sick on the guitar.
Do you play guitar?
I do. I'm a closet guitarist. Why? Do you not believe that?
I feel like you need to bring it in and show us. We could do a duet. Oh, wow. My gosh.
Do you know Knocking on Heaven's Door? Because that's the only song I know.
Oh, so you are a guitarist. So, unfortunately, the interview started with some technical difficulties. Fine. We couldn't hear each other, or so I thought. Enjoy. Huh? I can't hear Keith. I can hear him faintly like he's yelling at me through a tunnel. I love Keith Urban. I think every wife imagines her husband will have another love Keith Urban. Oh, there he is.
See, now we
hello.
Can.
Oh, hi, doll.
Is that me?
Yes, it's Em.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi, honey.
I've been hearing you the whole time.
Oh,
Em.
Shit. What did I say?
Yeah. Oh, horrible thing.
Oh, my God. Now I've got to go back through the last 5 minutes in my mind and think if I said anything. I think I said I wanted to marry you.
And every wife wants
and every wife sure. wants Keith as her husband.
Yeah, I've got selective hearing too. Perfect.
No, that's what I said. Well, I'm just going to say straight away, Keith Urban, welcome to Today for Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Honey, I just love you. I mean, I don't even care. You heard me talking off air. But what I did say is I watched you and Nicole sit together last week and sing Parallel Line. And I was sitting there thinking, why doesn't my husband sing romantic duets with me? So what's going on with you setting up the husbands of the world?
Oh, mate, I wasn't doing anything other than trying to get out of singing a song, actually. And it was my wife who yelled, sing the song from the back of the room. And so I said, well, if I'm going to do it, you're going to do it with me. And I didn't think she'd get up, so it was awesome. She's a good sport, Nick.
She's also a good singer. People kind of maybe forget that about her. I mean, you're better, Joel, don't worry. You're better.
No, she's great. I love her getting up and singing, but she never does it. She finds it so uncomfortable.
Isn't that amazing?
As much as I would if I was acting, she keeps reminding me. So, because I always go, oh, it's just easy, just jump up. And she's like, easy for you. But anyway.
Let's have a little listen to Parallel Line, written by Ed Sheeran. Baby, thin line now. Baby, thin line now. Maybe it's time we put our hearts in a parallel line. Aww. See? I need my husband to do that. That's Keith Urban. Shut your face.
You go marry Ed.
Oh,
sing it to you every day.
I don't know. I think he's engaged now. I think I'm a bit old for Ed too, doll. I'm like 39. I'm way too old. I love the idea of Parallel Line. How does it, in this song, what does it mean?
Oh, I mean, I think it just means being on the journey together.
Side by side?
Yeah.
See, you're even romantic now. Like, seriously, do you have an off button?
Yeah.
Is it always definitely. Romance with you? Just romance, romance, romance? No.
You're asking me to explain the song.
Well, explain it, mate. Do it, all right? Can someone put some sexy sax on while Keith Urban explains romantic songs, please?
Did you say sexy sax?
Yeah. Oh, I love a sexy sax doll. Have any
When's the last time you heard sax on a song?
Right?
I mean, really, come on. It's been a while.
Am I right, Keith Urban? Yeah. I've been trying to bring back A, a cowbell, and B, a sexy sax. Solo, by the way.
Right.
Are we going to see any sexy sax in graffiti?
We have a little bit of alto sax on one of my songs called Same Heart that's on the record. So there you go.
Yes. See, you even knew that.
Yeah.
But I would like to see you learn this. Oh, my God, this will be... Okay, here we go, Keith.
I'm going
to
get all Kenny G on it.
Yes, you on a clifftop in leather pants, solo sax. Just...
Mate, you got to get out more, Em. You really do.
You're telling me, mate. Yeah. You're telling me. So, nominated for Country Music, obviously, awards, huge, killing it everywhere. What do you do when you come to Sydney? Like, what do you just chill out? Do you keep your head down? What are you doing? Like, what are you doing today? What's going on?
I'm chatting to you.
Yeah, obviously the highlight of your day, and you're going to walk away thinking about leather pants and bloody sexy sax. Yes.
Yeah, I'm seeing Fabio in my head right now playing saxophone.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Oh, if you want to grow your hair, I will not say no.
I love being back in Sydney. And this time of year, it's beautiful. Mm. Yeah, it's great.
Now,
yeah.
Are you going to be doing some concerts for us?
We are. I don't know when, but we're putting that together right now. I was hoping we could announce that this week, but we haven't quite got it dialed into which dates we're doing and when. But we're working on it.
And what am I seeing in a Keith Urban live show? Because I'll tell you, I have some ideas. I just finished.
I think we know your ideas by now.
I mean, obviously it involves a cliff top and a sexy sax and some leather pants.
Yeah, done.
And I don't think Nicole would argue with me on you in a pair of leather pants on a cliff top just quietly. Tops off.
If you've just joined us, everybody.
But I just finished my stand-up tour and I had a giant 3-metre self-inflating penis appear at the end and it was a crowd pleaser. So if you want to borrow it, I will lend it to you.
Did you have to have a penis extinguisher nearby?
Absolutely. Yep.
It just self-combusted?
Yes.
They're known to do that.
They are dull. Oh, yeah. No, there was an extra $2,000 to shoot glitter and I'm not made of money, Keith Urban. But the thing is, like, I had to have a penis wrangler in case something went wrong. So it was just someone's job to stand side of stage in case it inflated and hurt someone. It was just a wrangler. So you can borrow the wrangler too if you want the penis for your show.
I'm good. Thank you.
Are you sure?
All set. Yeah, all set on the wrangling.
I'm looking at the tracks from Graffiti U. I mean, let's have a look. Never Coming Down. I mean, that lends itself to the giant penis, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can see glitter already.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, they're wrapping us up, Keith.
We've just run out of time.
Oh.
Oh, boom.
That's a bummer.
Keith's like, yes.
I've got to come and see your show.
I think you really do. If you look up M. Russiano, there's lots of photos of me on it. Go to my Instagram, Keith Urban.
Fantastic.
But your new album, Graffiti U, Parallel Lines. Anytime, doll, anytime, and let me know if you want
bet, Em.
The penis. Okay, great. Thanks, Keith Urban.
Thanks, baby.
Bye, doll.
See you later. Bye.
I love it when the publicist has to step in.
The publicist was in. She would not leave us. But Keith shooed her away 5 times, I'll have you know.
My.
Oh, that's isn't good. He delightful?
That's when you know you've cracked under a layer or two is when he's
just giggling
the
whole time.
He's in. He's in, man.
He was in. Exactly. He was gorgeous. Go and listen to the album. It's beautiful. It's just like sweet, sweet honey in your ear, only less sticky. So
if you go to the concert, though, and a giant penis does a wreck on stage, will you sue?
Stolen.
No, I'll wrangle that thing.
We're talking about love, and who saw A Current Affair last night? The story of the Australian grandmother who went over to Africa to marry a man she met online.
Okay, straight away alarm bells are ringing. I did see the... I was sitting with you and we were watching the preview. I didn't actually end up watching the story, but... yes.
Red flags?
I saw it last. I watched the story last night, and it was at both fascinating and... very sad all at the same time.
Were her family against it all?
There wasn't a lot from the family.
Her family.
Yeah, her family. She sort of was mentioning that, you know, perhaps people had warned that this may not be true love that you found on the internet with a man from Africa, but she sort of wasn't having it. So problem was that this wasn't her first rodeo. She was flying over to marry a man called Godfrey in Uganda, Grant, and it wasn't the first time that this had happened.
After dealing with the loss of nearly $300,000 she'd transferred to Johnson, she then met Godfrey Kazungu from Uganda on Facebook, and it wasn't long before she hopped on a plane to meet her love.
Poor thing. Oh.
So she'd shelled out $300,000 to another guy and then found a new dude.
And then they had found out that the bank had actually informed Susie that the bank was getting involved now, because even someone at the bank's going, this is awful.
Dude, what are you doing?
There were five other women that were transferring the first bloke, Johnson, money.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, you get scams on, we all get scams on our emails. Mm. We all get weird text messages and stuff like that, and you think, good luck.
Yeah.
But this is a serious money. I think it was Queensland was the worst affected. I think 2 years ago it was something like $10 million in a year had left Queensland alone.
Mm. So wow. Just for people who are just so lonely that they are desperate to believe anything that they are promised by someone overseas.
Yeah, but I struggle with sympathy if this is their second one. Sorry.
Yeah, that was the bit. You're watching it and you're going,
Learn. Okay, I'm sorry you got trapped the first time, but this is exactly the same circumstances.
And then
again,
how can the family allow that to continue?
I know. Where's her family?
But it's her money. You can't stop someone you doing what they want with their money.
Do you know what? Maybe deep down she knows. You know what I mean?
I don't think she does. Well,
she doesn't. Maybe they make her feel loved and wanted, and she's paying for a service.
Well, have a listen to her. This is her speaking about Godfrey and the et cetera.
Godfrey loved me, no matter whether I had any money or not.
And then Godfrey proposed.
He did. Yes, he did. And I said yes. And we got married in Africa.
Wow.
Are they still together, happily ever after?
Look.
Is this a classic romance for the ages?
They're still married and they're still sending, she's still sending money to Godfrey. That was part of the story.
Okay.
And there was footage of the wedding in Uganda. And Susie is a grandma. She's, you know, not that.
She's a grandma.
She's a grandma.
She's even, what, is she in her 60s?
I believe around that age. I don't know if they said. And Godfrey is a young
20-something.
Looked 20-something. Mm. Strapping young man. And his whole family was there. And it looked very incongruous.
Yes.
The whole thing. She didn't have anyone there. No. And we go live now to our executive producer, Kimmy. Kim, you lived in Uganda.
Correct.
And is this, because I saw this, I was like, this is amazing. Is this the first, is it common for elderly white women to fly to Uganda to marry very hot, young, virile dudes?
I wouldn't just say elderly, older people. I saw all different age groups. Actually, one of my friends, I've got a friend, someone my age, won't say my age, but she is still in love with a guy from Uganda and still flying over there hoping that it's all going to work out. He sweet talks her.
What?
They're very good.
I'm not against it. I mean, if she feels good about it, it's her choice, her money.
So if it makes you feel happy, then it's okay.
And I feel like she does know deep down.
Did the rest of the family take it seriously?
She has a really good self-esteem.
His family?
His family were all there. There was a lot of people there and a lot of smiles and a lot of laughter.
Oh, no, they were laughing.
They were happy for the couple.
I think they're laughing because they're so happy.
So happy.
Oh, were they?
Like, not like, we stitched her. We love love.
We love love. Let's let Tracy wrap up this story of love.
So many vulnerable people out there. Susie is now looking into having her marriage to Godfrey annulled.
What? Is there anything to believe in anymore?
I give up.
Love is dead.
Ryan from Married at First Sight, you can see his new stand-up comedy show, Looking for Love, this Friday at Manning Bar, University of Sydney. Tickets available now at manningbar.com.au, or you can get yourself a double pass by calling 13 10 60. And you might have to be quick because the 7 o'clock show has sold out, so he's added a 9 p.m. show. Good morning, Ryan.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Hey. Well, we're in shock.
Oh, are we? Are we now?
Well, yeah. Because you were introduced to us as a man looking for love on Married at First Sight, and you were paired with Davina. Mm. Davina.
I remember that, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Very well.
Yeah. Sorry, yes. Didn't work out, and then it went a little bit quiet, and now here you are as a stand-up comedian.
Here I am. Well, as I said before, not a stand-up comedian yet, but hopefully on my way there.
Where did it come from, this want?
Oh, look, everything I've done, like when I'm on site and whatnot, I've always just been that general idiot that always tries to make people laugh, and I use
that
word, tries.
Do you think that
tries.
Makes you a comedian?
No.
Because, you know, everyone thinks they're funny. Do you think after, like, 2 months you get to say, oh, I'm a stand-up comedian?
That's what I'm just saying. No, I don't think you do. You got to earn that.
Yes. You bloody do.
It's
Ryan.
Not easy up there. It's a bloody tough gig, especially with a heckler cross.
Jeez, I wish I understood. I have no idea what you're talking about. I've only slogged it out for a decade.
Yeah, see, normally it takes like, because Manning Bar is where my own sort of comedy career started at Manning Bar, Ryan, when I was a student there doing the sort of improv theatre sports, et cetera, et cetera. And they say it takes about 10 years to get good at stand-up comedy. And you seem to have managed it after one gig.
Nah, I wouldn't say good yet, but I've done one. And I did used to watch you on Thank God You're Here, so I did know you're into that as well. That
yes, yes, I appreciate that. So that's where they saw me doing. They saw me doing improv there, and then that's how I got that job.
Right. So this, so yes. you can. This is a launch pad. This space and this opportunity.
Yeah, there you go.
For you.
It worked for you.
It did work.
Watch
for me.
It fail for me.
So everyone wants to know. You've got a. I know that it's your new career, etc., and it's big. But it's an odd one to sort of jump, you know, straight away into this.
A national tour is an odd thing for a new comic to do a month in.
Yeah, so can you give us something? I know you've been
give
saying
give us some gear, mate.
Give us something that give us a taste of what.
What's
what,
your opening?
What
set?
The punters can expect.
What do you come out with?
Yeah, but if I tell you then there's no point in coming to the show, is there?
Oh, mate, give us a minute.
It's like a tease, just a little tease.
Think about yourself as a comic that's been doing this for a month. They would kill for this opportunity to come on the radio show and sell their gigs.
It's Sydney Comedy Festival right now.
Right now.
And we're basically having a comic on a day. You've shunted off Cal Wilson.
She's tomorrow.
Yeah, so give us something, mate.
Give us something to love.
Give us a gag.
Something.
All right. Well,
here we go.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Let's hold that thought. 131060.
Yeah.
Let's have 131060. If you would like to be one of Ryan's audience here, he's going to do it, but you're going to be live listening, and then you can say, ha ha, ha, we'll get a live audience ready to laugh.
I love that. 131060.
Yep. Here we go. Absolutely right. 131060. Come on board, have a listen to some of Ryan's gear next.
To be fair, Ed, if someone asked us to do this on air, we'd tell them to do it a go.
I sort of did out there, but now you put me on the spot.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
It's like an initiation. You've got two of some of the finest comedians in the country who are welcoming you into the fray, and
they
want to give you the chance to warm up prior to your gig.
Here we go. Because the Manning Bar gig, man, it could be fantastic. So 131060.
You can do this.
Ryan from Married at First Sight, his first ever joke on the radio. You got a bit of time to prepare, mate. That is next.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed by downloading the Today FM app.
You join us on the verge of a world first, a showbiz exclusive, because Ryan from Married at First Sight is now a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
And he's doing well. He's got a show at the Manning Bar at the University of Sydney. Tickets available at manningbar.com.au, 131060. Well, we might have given those, or we might need that double pass in a moment. Mm. So, Ryan, mate, we were just chatting off air, and I saw your tattoo across your chest, which says, "Have a little faith." Is that a meaningful thing, something that your grandfather said to you on his deathbed?
No, I actually got it off Prison Break.
Yeah, got it off Prison Break.
Hey, look, we're already laughing.
So we're away.
We're already laughing.
Now, we did put you on the spot. That is true. We did say, listen, give us one of your gags, because going from Married at First Sight contestant to stand-up comedian is a world first.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I went from Australian Idol contestant to stand-up comedian.
Did you?
Yeah, in 13 years.
Oosh. We all come. Yeah. And there is the rub, because it does normally take, rule of thumb is about 10 years to get good at stand up comedy. But here we go.
Oh, I never said I was good on the posters.
Ah, well,
there's no promises. We'll treat these as your comedic guidance counselors.
Yeah,
okay?
We're here. We'll stop being mean.
We've got Lena and Gina on the line.
Really?
They're ready.
Lena and Gina. That sounds amazing.
They're ready because they're our comedy jury today. Oh, they're just react any way you want. Hi, Lena and Gina. Just say hi.
Hey.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey.
Okay. Feel free to laugh. Feel free to do whatever you like. Okay. Ryan. Ryan, here comes first ever joke, official joke on radio.
Em looks nervous.
We're all nervous.
Super nervous for you because.
But you're having a go.
Yeah, go, mate. I'm on board now.
Ready?
Come on, mate.
You can do it.
Ready.
I really did try for that marriage, though. I really did. I even tried oysters. They say oysters make a woman really horny. Not the way I eat them. They did make Davina really horny, though. For Dean. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh!
It's good.
Now, Lena, your thoughts?
Absolutely. I agree with him, but it is funny. It is, we know the facts, so yeah.
Thank you, Lena. Can move on. She said the joke is factually
Lena
correct.
Lena one of Davina's friends? Or?
She may well be. Yeah, Gina.
As a comedian, you do want to hear that your joke is factual. So that's amazing. That's
Gina, what did you think? Gina, what did you think?
Not too bad. It's okay. Anything after Davina is great.
Okay, that's more dating advice than anything else. And Mary, who from Penrith won the double pass, she's coming to see you, Rye. She's fired up. Mary, what did you think?
I'm so excited, Ryan. I think that was pretty good. You're pretty on point. But Mary, married again.
Okay. So Mary, would it be fair to say if Ryan was just on stage with the mute button on, you would still go and think it was amazing?
Of course I would.
Yeah.
So Ryan, tell us, what did your manager tell you? If things aren't going well, what are you going to do?
Take me shirt off. And if all goes fast, take pants off too.
All right, mate, best of luck. Yeah, hey, this is a hard thing you're starting out on. Best of luck, all right?
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for having me, mate. Sorry for being mean, but, you know, hold off on calling yourself a comedian for a bit. But good luck, mate. I'm here with you.
Hooroo.
Ever.
Come back and see us again. There you go. Ryan from Out of First Sight. Starting it up. Good on you, man. We are doing this. Wear your wedding dress. It's gonna be so much fun. Wear your wedding dress. Why should you wear it only once? Let Luna Park Weddings create an unforgettable wedding day for you. Visit lunaparkweddings.com for more information.
Flawless.
Yeah.
Seamless credit. You can't even tell that's a credit, guys.
So good.
What credit?
Ain't that the truth? We are next. It's our royal wedding dress party. So why should the royals have all the fun? And why should you only ever get to wear these things once? It's next Wednesday. It's at Luna Park. Samantha Jade's going to be performing. We three are going to be there. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Yep.
If it was the night of your life, then why not give it another run? Give it another lap. Just enjoy the moment. If you're a groom or a groomsman or a bridesmaid, grab the dress, pull it on, do the best you can.
Yep. I have a box with a wedding dress in it that's hermetically sealed.
So it's coming out.
That I had to pay $500 to get cleaned and sealed.
And you cool too?
$500?
Yeah.
Open a box?
Yeah, no. Like, I paid $500 to get it put in the box.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
I see what you mean. To preserve it for all time.
Yes. Are you okay? You're going to sort of pop that seal and whack it back on?
That's my idea.
There's probably a few dresses out there too, whether it be bridesmaids or groomsmen, that, you know, you might need to sort of wipe off the champagne.
Okay, good. And also, Kizzy was saying our internet guy, his suit doesn't fit him anymore. And, like, that's the point. That's the point.
Yeah.
You can wear it as an armband, as a shoe, as a hat, as a veil.
Whatever you like.
Just pop it on your person if you can.
Yeah, 13, 10, 60.
Oh, a cummerbund as like a karate kind of bandana around your head.
I'm nervous.
Sweet.
As a Cobra Kai.
My dress doesn't fit me. Are you guys prepared for that emotional breakdown? Because I don't have a backup.
We're here to support you.
Are you prepared for that?
Get another one.
Good.
Yeah, we'll get.
Buy me a dress, Jace.
Today, family, spring for a new one.
Is anyone out there in a wedding boutique that want to lend me a dress for Wednesday night?
Do you want to make a grand entrance? Should we do one of those things that everyone likes to do now, whether you're making an entrance, doing a performance, or singing a song?
Yes.
Or maybe you can be standing on Ed and my shoulders, because we're the...
Your shoulders? You're going to carry me.
That'd be good, man.
Okay.
I'm really strong. I'm very good in the core. Can I just...
Sorry, yeah, man.
I can plank for 2 minutes.
That's what I heard. So,
plank.
Oh, sorry. So 13, 10, 60. If you would like to come along, just join us. You got no hoops to jump through. This is because it's early, and we want you to feel involved. 13, 10, 60. We are going to hear a story though in a moment from our lovely producer Ali, who's been a bridesmaid a couple of times.
Oh,
and
always a bridesmaid, never the bride.
Bit of a disaster. Weddings can turn sour. 13, 10, 60. If you want to come and join us.
Today FM's $100,000.
Beat the bomb.
Beat the bomb.
At 7 minutes past seven, it is time to try and give away some money. Today FM's $100,000. Beat the bomb. Who's up today?
Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how you going?
Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
How much are you hoping for today?
Maybe around 1,800, something like that.
You got something on the mind you want to spend it on?
Yes, I'd like to take my daughters to the snow. None of us have ever been to the snow. How sad are we?
What a cool first-time experience.
Yeah, with your mum. Yeah. So they might not think that.
Well, here we go. So the cash bomb's loaded, and all you have to do is yell stop. before the bomb goes off. Do that and you'll take home the last cash amount revealed. But if the bomb beats you to it, then you walk away empty-handed. Does that all make sense? Are you ready to light the fuse, Nicole?
Yes, please.
Okay, here we go. Light the fuse.
$600. $680. $690. $800. $920. $1,200. $1,400. $1,550.
Stop.
$1,550.
Yay, that's fantastic. Thank you.
Get some perisher in your life for that. Well done. Yes, 1,550. But, Nicole, we've reached that moment. Would you like to hear how far you could have gone?
Sure.
Let's go.
$1,700. $2,200.
Well played. Well played, Nicole.
Thank you.
So, as you know, I'm a big name in hip-hop and rap, and I like to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on.
Definitely.
Dr. Dre, obviously, former NWA pioneer, Beats by Dre, multi-billionaire, mogul, the whole bit. He was notified by the trademark office that someone else was trying to trademark Dr. Dre. And he's like, you what now? So we got into it, and it turned out it was a gynecologist who also runs under the name of Dr. Dre, but spelt D-R-A-I, not D-R-E, as Dr. Dre spells it.
Gotcha.
Dr. Dre's like, no, you're not trademarking that name.
How is it not already trademarked?
That is what I am wondering.
Well, how's a guy who's got paid $300 billion or whatever it was for those headphones?
I feel like maybe because that's not his real... I don't know. That's the question that I was asking, but no one seems to be able to answer. But maybe he has trademarked it and then... They've let him know that someone else is trying to do it, and that's how the court battle started.
Gotcha.
Anyway, they've gone in. The court case wrapped up yesterday, and the judge has ruled in favour of the gynecologist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Dre, the rapper, has said that the similarity could cause confusion because the other dude, the vagina doctor, wants to sell audiobooks and seminars under the name. And then the judge was all like, dude, I don't think people are going to get you guys mixed up.
Fantastic.
I don't feel people are going to mistakenly go to buy, say, a single by Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
And end up talking about why your labia majora is lopsided, yeah, you know?
45 minutes with no music. When's Eminem coming
this
on this?
This is a terrible song.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
And so ruled against Dr. Dre and in favour of Dr. Dre, the vagina doctor.
I can see why.
And, I mean, there's so much here.
So tell us more about Dr. Dre, the doctor.
I'm glad you asked. I obviously had to do a deep dive on this
of
dude.
Of course.
And I had so many things I wanted to do. First of all, I wanted to write a rap parody. I got 20 things you need to know about your vagina. And because that's what the name of his book is.
Oh, wow. It
so
is too.
Dr. Dre's book is called...
20 Things You May Not Know About the Vagina. And this is... Whoa. This is a piece of literature I mean, I spent a good hour on last night.
Okay.
And I just want to find the chat. I've just got... I'm sorry.
Did you learn things? Did you... of the 20, how many did you say? I already knew that.
I didn't know any of the 20.
Any of the 20?
I have learned things about my vagina.
What was your greatest takeaway fact then?
Well, mainly that I realise what's been missing from my medical professionals is that they don't use sassy hashtags and lol in their literature.
He writes lol? LOL and hashtags?
Yeah, so some of the chapters are chapter 14, loose as a goose.
Whoa.
Chapter 15, queef realness.
Oh. That's actually a rapper as well.
Queef realness.
Can I trademark that? That's my rap name.
Yes, queef realness.
I'm queef realness.
Please trademark it. DJ queef realness queef. On the decks. Yo, yo, yo.
Queef realness.
Can we go with orgasmic birth?
Hang on.
But I think my...
Oh, some people... What, orgasm during birth?
Yeah, apparently. That's something to aim for, guys.
Are you for real?
Oh, yeah, guys. Didn't you even know that when you are squeezing a child out of your vagina, you should be getting off as well? How dare you?
Whoa.
But I think my favourite thing from The Good Doctor was chapter 8, Slippery When Wet.
Good album.
Yeah.
Now we're getting closer to music.
Can we talk about...
Is it Sue Bon Jovi as well?
The picture that he's used.
Dania?
There's a dude hanging from a tightrope above a circling sharks underneath him.
I know my vagina's like some circling sharks. Yeah. I mean, that's been God, if I had a dollar. But basically what he said is you've got natural lubrication happening.
Right.
But when you can't use your own natural lubrication, you can get other stuff.
Yep.
And it is made out of shark livers.
Wow.
And then he goes on to say, poor hashtag gents. They don't know what to do with all that water. Lol, gents, watch out. She's a hashtag man eater.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. So now he's trying to work some lyrics into there?
This is a medical journal, We're still on the medical journal,
scientific.
And, like, there's a chapter that I'm just going to say, it's just called, and if there's kids in the car, it doesn't matter. They won't know. It's like when you get a hose and you squirt things.
Oh, you squirt the
And it's
the
just
hose.
A picture of a dude with water coming at his face. I mean, someone call the Medical Journal Association because this guy has clocked it.
Wow. I'm going to kick things off this morning with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Because we have been talking game shows, Grant Denyer.
Yes, we have.
Because Family Feud is no longer going to be with us.
Valet Family Feud.
Yeah.
But another 2 months on air before it gets rested.
So another 900
rested,
episodes.
Rested, so they told you.
That's what they told me. That's how it was sold.
I've got a show that's being rested. That was 12 years ago, so... Must be really good. I think it might be in a coma. Let's pull the plug, I reckon. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire just presses on regardless, though. Mm-hmm. Never ending. In England, though, they've changed it up. Jeremy Clarkson, who used to be the host of Top Gear, is now back as the sort of Eddie Maguire of a millionaire hot seat.
Jeremy Clarkson, the big, tall, obnoxious one, or the one who wears the choker?
The big, tall, obnoxious one. Not the little guy.
Yeah.
And... one of the newer aspects is that you could phone a friend or you can ask the host. So as if to say, hey, Eddie, a question.
Oh,
yeah. Which is very weird. But
oh, man, imagine if you got asked a millionaire question. That would be hilarious.
Or in Family Feud, it's like they could say to you, well, what do you reckon, Grant?
Well, and you have to give them the answer.
I kind of love
that. It's an option, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of love that. That's great.
So, but this woman's name is Lynn. And she decided to phone a friend, it was for £31,000, which is, you know...
a lot of money.
$56,000.
Yeah.
She had that. And then she went to the £64,000 question. This is $116,000. And the question she was asked in 2016, who did Boris Johnson succeed as Foreign Secretary? She decided to phone a friend. It was her husband. Here she is asking the husband.
Right. In 2016, whom did Boris Johnson succeed as Foreign Secretary? Liam Fox, Philip Hammond, Ken Clark, or William Hague?
I think it may be Philip Hammond.
He said Philip Hammond. Mm-hmm. That's pretty clear. Mm. All right, Lynn, this is for $116,000. You going to go with your husband's answer?
I'm going to go with the gut and say William Hague, final answer.
All right, Jeremy Clarkson, take it away.
Please, computer, can we have the answer?
Oh, it'll kill me.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Don't go home tonight.
Husband was correct.
That is the ultimate wild card for the next 10 years for him.
How's that?
That is amazing.
So if you're having an argument with your partner today, just think, at least I'm not Lynn. Daniel, what's caught your eye?
So brand new road rules in New South Wales today that you might need to remember. It involves cyclists, which is a good idea. They've been trialling it for a while, but it comes into force today. When you pass a cyclist, you've got to leave a metre gap.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And if it's under 60 k's. If it's over 60 k's, it's got to be a metre and a half. But there's a couple of other obscure rules, which I don't know whether you know, that still exist.
These are real rules today.
Do you know that you can be fined for not locking your doors on your car?
What, when you walk away from it?
When you walk away. If you leave it unlocked and you're more than 3 metres away, you can be fined.
Really?
That's an existing rule.
That needs a hobby.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, did not know that.
Enforcing that.
Yeah, how do you enforce that? Try indoors.
If you leave your window down more than 2 centimetres, you can also be fined for that, even if the doors are locked.
My father-in-law has pioneered cracking it a frag. And when you crack it a frag, it means you're letting the air in and out.
That's
he goes, just crack the windows a frag, doll.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's like, but it's more
as long
than,
as it's under, yeah, as long
God.
As it's, well, under 2 centimetres or it's got to be 3 centimetres in Queensland. So
we
it's
crack
like,
it,
hey, Queensland wants an extra centimetre for the
hotter.
It's hotter.
It's hotter. Yeah. And splashing puddles. You know how you can drive past a pedestrian if it's been raining and you can splash them?
Yeah,
it used to happen at my bus stop all the time.
Yeah.
Well, it's legal to do that unless those pedestrians are waiting at a bus stop. That's the only time it's illegal.
You know what's even more illegal? at my bus stop in Newtown when we were off to uni, there was a local woman who I think may have led an interesting life, and she used to come and do the monkey, where she would stand at the end of the bus stop and then throw her own feces at everybody else at the bus stop.
What?
Is that down there?
I'm looking down the list and I can't see feces being thrown.
Well, let's all go out and do it today. My fantastic. Poo party, everyone.
Poo party. But we are doing our wedding dress party, our royal wedding dress party. It is at Luna Park. It is at next Wednesday night. Let Luna Park Weddings create an unforgettable wedding day for you. Visit lunaparkweddings.com for more. The rides are going to be turned on. All you got to do is come along in some sort of part of what you wore around your wedding day. You could be a bridesmaid if you want. Kerry's called in.
You sound like a drill sergeant. Like, getting through the wedding now.
Well, that's the... You got lay a platform and then we can have some fun with Kerry.
Oh, God, my husband.
Yeah.
Hey, Kerry.
Hi, how you going?
Oh, yeah, going really well.
Does this sound like a lot of fun to you?
This sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Good. And you don't want to just come by yourself, do you?
No, I think I need bridal party with me too.
Your bridal party...
My bridal party, I have all their dresses sitting in my cupboard because they all gave them back to me, by the way. And I would like to get them back in those dresses. I've got mine. I've got everything. My husband's got his.
That's fantastic.
I think How many bridesmaids are we talking?
I have three bridesmaids.
Amazing.
That's sweet.
We could recreate your wedding picture.
Oh.
At Luna Park.
I would love to do that.
Kerry, you're coming along next Wednesday night. You and your whole bridal party, your husband, everyone.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. Oh,
thank you, Kerry.
Great. I love a wedding recreation.
That is great fun. Now, you're going to get another chance if you're missing out at the moment just after 8 o'clock. But our lovely producer, Ali, is in the studio. Ali, you've got a warning for us all, I believe.
Yes, I've been a bridesmaid four times, and I just want to warn people not to do this, what I did in LA for my best friend's wedding.
Yes, thank you.
I had too many rosés, and I hadn't eaten, and it was really hot.
I know.
Oh, that's always a good precursor, those three things.
That's a trap. What happened?
And I threw up all over the dress.
I told you some dresses need to be wiped down before we do this.
Yeah. All over it. It was disgusting. So I decided in my haze, I was like, oh, this is just gross. And it stunk. So I put it into a bag. And we're in LA. I don't know where a dry cleaners is. So I put it in a bag and I threw out the dress.
Oh.
And the next morning, the mother-in-law comes around to collect the dresses to take to the dry cleaner.
Oh, no.
And I had to come up with some elaborate lie. And I'm like, oh, no, it's fine. It's really clean. I've already packed it. You don't need it.
Down the bottom of your bag.
Anyway, a couple of years later, she asks for the dress because she wants to do, like, something
with
it.
What's wrong with this person?
Oh, it's for her daughter's... christening, you know, redoing a thing for a dress.
The fabric.
Long story short, she wanted the fabric back.
Yeah. So what'd you do?
I had to make up another elaborate lie.
So we're stealing our second lie.
That's amazing.
So on to the second lie, and it was something like, oh, look, I lent it to a friend, and we had it redone, and all
this
kind of stuff.
She's on the line. Just tell her. Their book is called Life Force by Barry Duart and Miguel. I don't even try the last name. It's available now in all good bookstores.
Maestro.
Well, he can tell us. Hello, Barry. Hello, Miguel.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, we're so happy to be here.
I don't even know. Barry, first of all, you're looking fit and well.
Thank you.
Was there a point in time where you didn't know that you'd be looking so fit and well again?
I always knew I was going to come back to looking good. I mean,
long
story short.
Long story short, it was part of the reason for the book. I'm a relatively strong looking guy, 57 year old guy, and the treatment that I was going to go through was going to be horrific. I knew that, but I backed myself to come out of it as strong as anyone could. And I figured if we at least tell that story. It will inspire a couple others to do their best as well. So
you had to have the energy to write a book, dude. You had cancer.
Yeah, I still got cancer. That's not going to go away. What I've got isn't curable, but you can still have a lot of hope, and you can still do your best. And as I said, I've said it a lot lately, we're all going to face a fight one day. So the trick of this is to be prepared for that fight the best you can.
And you left no stone unturned. You know what I like about you is how aggressively you jumped into this.
Yep.
And cancer treatment today is very, very different. It's come a long way, like even in the last 10 years. What did you learn the most?
A hell of a lot. Thanks for that. I mean, it's changed a lot. It's changing a lot every day at the moment. And I'm very lucky. I've got the support of incredible people. And I'm up to date with what's happening. And again, that's why we want to share this information. And I am very lucky. I live 10 minutes from one of the best hospitals in the country. I've got an amazing network behind me. I've got an incredible bunch of friends. Thankfully, I've got a bit of money to support myself. So I'm lucky. What we wanted to do was share what is working for me with lots of people that might not be aware it's out there.
Mm. So the book is called Life Force, 131060, if you would like a copy of it, because the second part of it, and I can't believe he's been silent for this long,
I got a fiesta inside my head, like, I got Ricky Martin, Sofia Vergara, and a whole mariachi band.
Are there words to that song, Miguel? Are there words to...
He's no words at all. He's just like, just a lot of dancing.
Yeah, just a lot of dancing. So... Now, talking about life force, it is strong in this one. Yes. Now,
it really is.
Miguel, what's been your role in helping Barry, you know, through his treatment and through his recovery?
Well, the thing is, you know, when Barry announced in the living room like that he wasn't well, it was a massive shock for all of us. By the way, we all like a little family, and you guys know the guys that were with us too, and we're quite close. And it was a big shock in the system to know that a member of our family wasn't well. So we all quickly got behind Barry. And, you know, I'm not very good at anything. A lot of people has got degrees. I only can cook. I'm not very good at anything else. You know, I can cook. I'm very good with potatoes, prawns. I made the best paella in the world. But that's it. I cannot even send a bloody email. And the thing is, like, I thought cooking would be the best thing that I could do for my best friend.
So kind. And I
started catching up with all these amazing professionals at the Chris O'Brien Lifehouse. I've been working with the best nutritionist in the country, Maren. I've been working with the best doctors, Judith, like the head of oncology on the Chris O'Brien Lifehouse. And these people has been assisting me in, you know, nutritional values and making sure that my recipes were the right ones for Barry. And it's been a very overwhelming journey for me as well, because to be next to Barry, seeing him like so happy, you know, it's making me stronger as well in a lot of ways.
In fact, it's ahead of its time. Like Miguel has just said, one of the best chefs in the country, working with the best nutritionists in the country. You have hospital food. We all know what it is. You know, steamed broccoli and potatoes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you've got no digestive system inside you, you can't digest that anyway.
Yeah.
And Miguel worked really hard on finding out what I would like to eat because of the way my taste has changed, but also what's going to help my recovery is best. It's an incredible journey.
Having the people around you, because I've filled in for you, mate, while you're receiving treatment, and it's one of the most lovely environments to work in, that place. Brilliant. They love you to death. Every crew member, every audience member that comes in, it's a beautiful place. But your friend goals with you guys, I realise my friends are crap compared to you two. I watch you and go, this is amazing. Because positive people around you can make an impact on your recovery, can't it? It's important.
100%. I mean, the psychology of positivity is just as important as the science of medicine. And I'll say this till I'm black in the face. The science of medicine is very important, but you've got to couple that with the science of physiology, the science of nutrition, and the science of psychology. These are the four things that make a real foundation in any lifestyle, in any situation. None of us want to get sick, but I'll give you all a tip. None of us are getting out of here alive. We're all going to face hurdles at one stage. Now, if you couple all those things together, you're going to be ready. Ed, I know you love a fight. You love to be at your best. We need to be at our best always. And then after treatment, again, and that's the amazing thing about what Miguel has done. He's worked out what was best for me before the chemo, during the chemo, and now after. I'm trying to build muscle now. That's where I need Tiff. Good.
So Tiff's ready, mate. She works on the living room sometimes. She said she's anytime amazing. You want, she's ready. She's ready to come and help you train. But, mate, this is a great, great idea. Life Force is the name of the book. Barry Dubois and Miguel from The Living Room. One final question. It's a showbiz one, sadly. I've heard around the station that because Family Feud's finishing up, that they're actually sacking everyone in the living room and it's just going to be Grant Denyer doing it by himself. Is that?
I think Gringo is going to get a hat. He's going to be Dr. Harry and I'll be fast Speedy Gascales. So, and we'll all be working in better homes and gardens and living rooms.
Thank you, boys.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Thanks very much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Love you work, fellas.
When Mimi falls apart, you easy. When Tay Tay gets in a fight with Kanye. When you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic, that's entertainment.
Kylie Jenner is being forced to fend off rumours that her child Stormy is not the product of her and her bodyguard Tim Chung. Now, pictures of the father, obviously, that we are led to believe is rapper Travis Scott, and pictures emerged of Stormy, and then someone realised she looked a lot like Tim, her former bodyguard. If you want to look, this is Tim. We'll put the picture up on the Instagram, Today FM Breakfast.
Why would you? You know, they say never don't get really hot nanny, or don't, you know, get if you're really someone works with someone really hot. That is the hottest bodyguard.
Correct. I would agree.
Yeah, I agree.
I would do him.
He looks like the guy. Good for you.
Him, brother.
He looks like the guy from Twilight. He looks like Jacob the Wolf.
He sort of does,
doesn't
he?
He's a stud.
So the side by side, the baby and the ex-bodyguard look identical.
It's Prince Harry all over again.
But she's obviously just said, no, this will be the third man to have been linked to the child. No, Kylie's former boyfriend, Tiger, also believes that he could be the baby's father. This could be a fun game show for Kris Jenner to set up.
Grant Denyer. Yay. He needs a new job.
I'm looking for something. Who's the father?
Yeah, guess the father.
DNA Wheel of Fortune.
You spin the wheel and see what it lands on.
Who's the daddy? Where's the sperm? So that's fun. That'll develop, no doubt. Now, Eurovision is, I'm so excited. It's my grand final, guys. Eurovision is happening. Yeah. And obviously, Ryan Reynolds is out and about. He's promoting Deadpool 2. And you wouldn't really associate Deadpool with Eurovision. No. But I'm here for it. Elaborate costumes.
Gotcha.
Over the top ethnic people. It's good. And so he has taken aim at us, what? Australia. He's upset that Canada is not part of this because he says, we gave you the gift of Celine Dion. How dare you?
Good point.
This is what he had to say.
And don't give me that crap about Canada not being part of the European family. You let in Australia and they're barely on the planet. Well, it stops now, Europe.
Oh, I'm just glad he knows my name.
Yeah.
He knows Australia, guys.
He said me.
Yay! Now, Katy Perry. She sent Taylor Swift. 6 years they have been in an argument.
That's a long time.
Albums have been made, songs sold, tours launched. Mm. As I said off air to you guys, some people, and by some I may mean, are skeptical that the fight even happened and that perhaps it was orchestrated to make millions of dollars.
So you're talking about Bad Blood? That was in relation to this
every
riff.
Song those two have released for the last 6 years have apparently been pot shots at each other.
Okay.
And what happens was Katie wrote her a handwritten note and sent her an actual olive branch to her dressing room. Have a listen.
So I just got to my dressing room and found this actual olive branch. This means so much to me.
Now, there was a hand... Okay, so don't get excited that the feud's over because the feud's back on.
Oh, that was quick.
An olive branch.
No, because Taylor posted the apology, handwritten apology letter. She posted
she
it
did.
For everyone else to read.
She covered half of it, but the first half was visible.
Yeah, it says, hey, old friend, I've been doing some reflecting on past miscommunications and hurt feelings between us, and I really want to clear the air. I'm deeply sorry. And Katie's apparently now really upset that Taylor put her personal heartfelt note online.
Fair enough.
Now they're back fighting again.
Yes. Write a song about it.
New album coming.
I can't wait. I hate you again too.
New song.
Yeah.
New song.
That's entertainment.
It's cloudy.
Today.